The Mental Breakdown. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And it's Friday morning again.
It's Friday.
It seems like every time we talk, it's Friday.
It's deja vu. Yogi Berra used to say it's deja vu all over
again. All over again.
It's Friday all over again.
That's right.
The weeks are flying by.
Yes.
In this, the season of testing.
Yes, the season of testing.
Talked about that a little bit on Paydia today.
Yep. So, yeah, if you haven't checked that out.
Hang in there. Your kids are still being tested.
Yeah, check out
the... Or doing nothing.
Paydia Education Podcast.
Right.
Lots of good stuff over there. So, but for the Mental Breakdown podcast today, we're going to talk about... perseverance a little bit.
And I know why.
From failure to success is the name of it.
And I know why we're going to do this.
Tell me why.
Because you're a soccer fan.
Well, I am. I am. And I'm also a fan. I'm also a fan of grit.
Wow.
Of working hard, that combination of passion and perseverance that we've talked about before. We've talked about it on the podcast before.
I am too, and I hope they don't start testing for grit and perseverance in public schools.
That would not be
good thing. Don't ruin a good thing.
But, okay, so you mentioned soccer. Okay, so one of the reasons that we're talking about this topic is because right now in England, okay, so that's not the United States.
You have to explain this to listeners because people like me don't understand this business of Premier Leagues
and all
that stuff. So be very careful.
I'll do it quickly as well. Yes.
Okay.
All right. So in England, of course, soccer, football is the biggest sport.
Right.
I think next is cricket or something like that. But soccer is the biggest sport. And what's amazing about what they do over there, you can't even compare soccer there with football or baseball or anything like that here because the matchup just really isn't the same. For example, in London, there are 5 or 6 premier level teams just in London.
Just in London.
What the English Football Association has is multiple tiers, like 5 tiers of professional football. And so while you have the Premier League, that's the one everybody knows about with Manchester United and Chelsea and all these other teams, you also have Division One. The next one is called the Championship. Then there's Division
One,
two,
three.
So that
would be like our minor league.
It would be, except, of course, that the way that they do it is teams can move up and down throughout the system based upon how well they perform. So the top three teams in the second level of English football, in the Championship level, the top three teams next season, they go up to the Premier League.
Okay.
And in the Premier League, the worst three teams drop down to the Championship level. So
the whole team gets sent down.
The whole team is
sent
down.
Individual players get sent down.
Right, right.
But they're the whole team.
So no matter how bad the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are, as long as there's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're in the NFL. Over there, if a team is performing really poorly, like this year, there's a team called Aston Villa who has been in the Premier League since the Premier League was in existence. They're having a really poor season. They're in last place right now. Next season, they'll be in the Championship League for the first time since the Premier League was developed. They're dropping down to the second tier. So there is no protection for teams that are performing really poorly. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many fans you have. It doesn't matter how big your stadium is. If you're performing poorly, you go down to the next level.
So there are consequences.
There are. And in fact, one of the teams that was promoted this past season for this season, called Bournemouth, they have an extremely small stadium. Because they've always been, for the most part, a first or second division down team. And now here they are in the Premier League with...
not enough seats.
Yeah, Bournemouth and Watford, they just have very small venues. So over there, that's the way the system works. So a team can come literally out of nowhere and begin to do well. So that brings us back, of course, to... what we're talking about today, and that is, that perseverance, that push, that moving from failure to success. There's a team right now called Leicester City. Leicester City, in 2008, they were promoted, they were in the third division of English football.
Right.
Okay, so there's the Premier League, then there's the next one, then the next one. So they were
Division III is the lowest.
One of the lower ones. There's even more lower than that. But they were sort of in the middle of the different divisions. In 2008, they were in Division III. In 2009, they worked really hard, and they were promoted to Division II. They spent only 5 years in Division II, and in 2014, they were promoted to the Premier League. Okay? So they spent 5 years in that championship level that I was talking about earlier.
Right.
And then in 2014, they were promoted to the Premier League, the first division. Now, that transition is really tough for a lot of teams because now you're playing teams like Chelsea and Manchester United and Manchester City and Arsenal and these huge, huge teams. Right. And so that first year, 2014, as it is the case with many teams that are first promoted, was a really tough year for them. They were nearly in the bottom three again to go back to the championship. I think that they, you know, teams 18, 19, and 20 go down to the championship league. I think they finished like 16 or 17. I mean, they were just above.
Just barely.
Right. Okay. And this was last season, the 2014-2015.
But they finished well.
15 season. Yes. Near the end, the way that they stayed up was because they finished well. They ended the season on a little bit of a streak. This season, the 2015-2016 season, holy cow, this team has come out of nowhere. They're in first place right now.
Right. And that's what I heard.
First place by a margin. In fact, I believe that the numbers are, if they win this weekend, they have it wrapped up already with four or so games left in the season. They will have accumulated enough points.
So this isn't the last game.
No. There's still a few more games left. Right. But they are doing so well. Mm-hmm. And I love stories like that. Stories where teams and people, that I'll talk about this particular guy in just a second, but teams that just pull themselves together despite, you know, not doing well, despite being nearly relegated last season, here they are in first place, in first base place with command. Part of the reason that they're doing so well is they have this particular player. His name is Jamie Vardy. And if you haven't heard of him...
He's the runner?
Yes. His name is Jamie Vardy. And if you haven't heard of him, that's a very popular club because nobody has heard of this guy. He, again, another person, has come out of nowhere. 5 years ago, he played... in the fifth division. He played for a team in the fifth division of English soccer. Right now, he is in the top three leading scorers in the Premier League.
Yeah, they said that they were laughing about his running ability. Apparently,
he is so quick.
Forever.
Yeah.
And they said he uses marathons to warm up for soccer.
Yeah. He, in the 89th minute of a match, he will make a run that looks like the match just started. It's amazing. So many of his goals have just been because of his speed. And again, it's amazing. He was, as compared to some of these other players who, you know, are worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, this guy was, you know, bought for next to nothing. Mm-hmm. Out of the fifth division, he helped his team kind of build up a little bit over the years. And then Leicester City buys him a couple of years ago.
Oh.
And here we are. You know, he's helping to lead this team, but it is really a team, you know, more so than most other teams that I've seen. This is really a team that has pulled together and is making a difference. It's fascinating. And what it makes me think of, and I've written a couple of blogs about some of this over the past couple of weeks, what an opportunity for a lesson for us.
Well, I was thinking this. If they, because I'm not the kind of soccer fan you are, I'm coming to appreciate football. But when I was listening to the story this morning on the radio, I said, I hope they win, because if they win, it would be such an inspiring story for student athletes at every level, for young children, for teens, for high school athletes, for college athletes, that you must hang in, you must persevere if they win. Because if they win, it's going to be all over. Every newscast will carry it because it was not supposed to happen.
Right.
And if it does, it'll be on people's minds. And and it'll be good for young athletes everywhere, no matter what your sport is.
Right. I think that the odds of them winning, at least winning at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. was I think that they set it at 5,000 to 1
for them to
win. Mm-hmm. And so 5,000 to 1, that's a remarkable statistic, first of all. I mean, you know, no one would ever make that bet. But when you think about all of these massive, if we just stick with sports, massive sporting events that's happened in the past, and what their odds were, the miracle, Miracle on Ice.
Miracle on Ice.
That was like 250 to 1.
Wow.
Okay.
That they would win.
Right. Mm-hmm. This is 5,000 to 1. So, again, the odds, the likelihood is so small. But what a lesson that this is to teach us that despite the odds, despite what other people tell you, despite your history, despite struggles and problems and issues and challenges from the past, despite all of that, you can still go and you can still succeed and you can still win.
That's what I like about this story, is that it's going to have that in it, and it's going to be an inspiration for young athletes everywhere.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's where I want to take it. That's where we were talking about for this podcast is, you know, let's talk about then how we can take this lesson, how we can take this example and turn it into motivation for us as we live our lives every day. So we've talked before, and we spent a lot of time actually at the beginning of this year, calendar year, talking about how to set goals. We kind of shifted that focus from, you know, setting New Year's resolutions to setting goals. And, you know, we talked a lot about that and kind of went through a lot of detail with that. And what we always talked about was setting goals and then, you know, examining them in detail, you know, creating a step-by-step, you know, creating your roadmap, I think is how we called it. So you where you are now, where you want to be, and sort of examine the steps along the path that it takes to get there. And a question that I'm often asked is, how do you know when to persevere and when to abandon? You know, how do you differentiate the need to keep pushing, the need to keep going through despite failure, despite obstacles, despite issues? How do I know when enough is enough with that, and I need to either quit, I need to change, I need to stop, I need to look at something else?
Right.
And I think that's a really good question. You know, had Jamie Vardy, you know, 5 years ago said, you know what, fifth division's fine with me, I'll go work at the mill, I'll go work in this other place, you know, it'll be fine, and I'll just be satisfied with this, because that's all I'm worth. That he's not a young guy. You know, he's in his mid to late 20s, which is young, but from football standards, that's not young.
Not for a professional athlete.
Right. You know, so had he settled, which was probably what people were telling him to do, we certainly wouldn't know him. We wouldn't know anything about him. But instead, here we are. You know, he persevered. He overcame those obstacles. But at the same time, we certainly don't want people ramming their heads into the same concrete wall again and again and again. And so we need to, I thought, again, today would be a great time to talk about how do you take failure and turn it into success, whether that success means to persevere and keep going for your goal until you reach your ultimate goal, or you say, okay, you know, I gave it a good shot, let's try something else. All right? So, so with that question, and again, I think it's a very valid, important, good question. There's two things that I try to get people to think about first. The first thing is, okay, how much thought did you put into the goal to begin with? You know, a lot of times people will set goals without really thinking about what they want, what they have to do, or what they have to overcome to accomplish that goal. This is especially true with young people, because many of the young people that you talk to, they'll tell you very, very directly, "Oh, I want to be a millionaire by the time I'm 25. Okay, well, how is that going to happen? And as soon as you ask the how question, we begin to deteriorate very quickly, and it might result in just saying, "Well, because."
Right.
You know, that wonderful answer of because.
Well, because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how much thought have you put into the question or put into the goal? How much detail have you gotten? How much research have you done? You know, if you want to be a professional football player in the United States, if you want to be a professional baseball player, if you want to be a physician, do you know what that takes? Do you know what you have to do to accomplish that goal? Mm-hmm. That's the first step. We set goals all the time where we don't do that much research. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's just fine. It doesn't matter. Like I may say, well, you know, sometime today I'm going to set a goal of, I'm going to try to go by Publix sometime today. Don't really think about the logistics behind it. As long as I have time before they close, it'll work out. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of goals don't matter right. as much as it relates to this. But when you're talking about long-term goals, big goals, you need to make sure that you take the time to really consider what you're going to do, what it requires of you. Right. An example I've used before is medical school, of course. And I say of course because a lot of high school seniors, a lot of college underclassmen, you know, will claim to be pre-med majors. Mm-hmm. And this usually lasts up right. to about the sophomore year, the second year of yep. college.
Right.
Because it's in the junior year that they take organic chemistry.
The great
weed. The great weeder.
The weed eater.
The weed eating class. And what organic chemistry does, I mean, this is not unknown information. Mm-hmm. What organic chemistry does and is known for is that it weeds out the truly pre-medical students from those who maybe are okay in science mm-hmm. or like science a little bit
right.
Or would like the idea of working as a physician.
Right.
Organic chemistry is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And
that nobody has any prior knowledge in organic chemistry.
Right.
You have prior knowledge in every other subject. You don't have any prior knowledge because nobody takes organic chemistry in high school.
Right.
And you don't take it until you're a junior. It's an upper level course. And nobody has prior knowledge, so it's your first go around with this.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the weeding class. And so if you set the goal, okay, I want to be a physician, mm-hmm. And you know that you have to take these courses and you do all of your, you know, you do all of the homework and you know all of the steps that it has to take. I have to take these courses and then I have to pass the MCAT and then I have right. to, you know, do this mm-hmm. and do that. And then you get to organic chemistry.
Right.
And you do not do well, let's mm-hmm. just say. Let's say you have to drop the class or you have to, or you fail the class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happens. What do you do? What is the next step?
Right.
Part two, you know, so the first thing is, you know, make sure you research and you really evaluate what you want to do. The second thing is you need to think about how you're defining your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you say, I want to be a physician, that's a pinpoint. That's a very right. specific goal.
Right.
But if you sit back and reflect, perhaps the goal really is, I want to work in the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, working in the medical field is very different than working as a physician.
Right.
It's very different because there's, mm-hmm. you know, the opportunities in the yeah. medical field are almost endless. I mean, right. there's so many other career options
mm-hmm.
In the medical field. And so you may find yourself in that situation where you say, okay, I'm going to shift
right.
from going to medical school to I'm going to, you know, instead of taking organic chemistry again, I'm going to go over here and take microbiology, and I'm going to try to get into the nursing program.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to go into, medical engineering or something like that, something that's related, but again, not medical school because medical school requires organic chemistry. So if your first step is, okay, I got to really look at what my goal is, what steps I have to take to accomplish that goal, and how I'm going to get there. The second step is when you come to an obstacle that may be apparently very formidable for you, before you give up, sit back and say, okay, how am I defining my goal? You know, am I making my goal too restricted that's making it impossible to meet? And if so, is it possible to expand it a little bit, right? So you know that that's what you want to do. You know you want to work in the medical field. Do you have to be a physician, or is it okay to expand that a little bit?
Yeah, and I know plenty of people that if they can't be a doctor, they don't have anything to do with it.
Right.
Well, maybe the medical field isn't for you.
Right.
You know, because you should be interested in various aspects of it. If you want to be in medicine, there's a number of ways to be in medicine.
Right.
The physician is one, but there are many others.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And where this, where I think this comes up most often, or quite often, it is between parents and kids, between parents and teenagers, especially. Because the teenagers will have a particular set of goals. They'll say that they want to do things. Many times, those goals and expectations are imposed upon them by their parents. Mm-hmm. The parents will say, oh, no, you're going to be a physician. Or, oh, no, don't you really want to be a physician?
Yeah.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, you know.
Nudge. Yeah.
Isn't that what you want to do? And so the kid, especially early on, you know, they'll kind of take on those expectations and say, well, yeah, sure. And so then they will begin to, you know, voice the same things that the parents voice. And so when somebody says, hey, so you're going to graduate next year, what are you going to do? Oh, well, I'm going to go to medical school.
Right.
Okay. They haven't done the research. They don't know. They really don't care.
Right.
I have a couple of teenagers that I've worked with who say that they want to be a pediatrician or they want to be a psychiatrist or... And I'll ask them, you know, well, do you know what that entails?
Right.
Yeah, a lot of school is what they'll say.
Right.
And then, so of course, me being the person who likes to make sure that you're thinking about everything, I'll say, well, you know that every time we meet, you tell me how much you hate school.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you have a goal that's going to require you to do about 8 more years of school?
And we see
if you hate
time.
School.
We see it all the time.
Right.
We have students who absolutely hate school, plan to go to college and graduate school and get all, and I'm thinking, it's what you like the least.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But it's very common.
You hate doing it, but and you don't do your homework.
But you're going to do it.
That's
your goal.
You don't do your homework when your parents are on top of you saying, if you don't do your homework, you can't do anything.
Yep.
But yet... You're saying you're going to go to college and then go to medical school where your parents aren't going to be there to make you do your homework. Oh, well, that will be different. Well, not really. I mean, I'll be able to take classes that I like. Not really. Those first 2 years,
the first 2 years
are just general education classes. In the United States, that's the way that our college is.
They call it general education for a reason.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you have to take English. You have to take humanities. You have to take, you know, all these classes, history.
Yeah.
Ethics, all these other classes that you may have no interest in, you have to take them anyways.
Right.
So we have to be careful as parents that we don't impose on our kids goals and that we give them the expectation that they're going to do this, because what happens next can be very damaging.
Right.
You know, because again, the idea is to take challenges that we're experiencing and find ways to persevere through it. What do you think is the effect if you meet challenges and you fail, but you really don't have the internal drive to overcome them? So you still experience the failure,
right?
But it was a failure about something that you didn't really care about, but it's still a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry about kids who experience that too much.
Right.
Kids who experience that kind of failure, even though it was a failure that in the grand scheme of things, they could probably care less about.
Right.
But so why do it to begin with?
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't have that opportunity to drive through it and to find a way to succeed nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
You instead experience that failure and then drop it. And so that entire part of your life is now left and ends with a failure.
Right.
And our goal is to you know, experience failure, but then to go to success.
Right. Right. Not failure one,
to nothing.
Failure
yeah,
two, failure yeah. three, failure four. You have this accumulation of failures. Then you start to damage your self-esteem.
Right.
And so you have to rethink it in such a way that, you have, I don't even like to say failure. I say you have not succeeded in achieving that goal. So now what do you do?
Right.
You know, how do you turn this into something positive? Because failure alone means nothing.
Right.
I mean, it means very little, as long as you're doing something in response to that failure.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's the issue, not so, whether you fail or not.
Right. Exactly. Because, again, the reality, and there is some semantics about whether or not you would want to use the word failure with some of these things. But, you know, if we refer to not succeeding and not meeting a goal as failure, you know, we fail a lot in life.
Absolutely.
You know, there are lots of times that we try to do something and we don't succeed. We don't hit the benchmark that we're shooting for.
Well, you think of a one-year-old baby learning how to walk. If they stopped every time they fell, they'd never get up. They'd never walk.
Right.
You know, because they're going to fall numerous times and they're going to get hurt on occasion.
Right.
But if they don't keep going, and that's what we're talking about here, you got to keep going. And it's the same throughout life.
Whether it's
riding a bicycle.
Right.
You know, yeah, you're going to fall a few times and you're going to get nicked and banged up and cut and bruised. But you get back on and you do it again.
Right.
It's what you do after that's really important.
Yeah, yeah. So again, that's why we're calling this podcast From Failure to Success, because the idea is that we persevere through that perceived failure and find a way to succeed anyways.
That's right.
Again.
And it doesn't have to be at that same, I mean, it might be the same task, like riding a bike, but maybe the best thing to do is to move to a different task. Maybe this isn't the task. Maybe this isn't really the goal that you should be pursuing. That's what you're suggesting.
Right.
Is that you have to be willing, flexible, and intelligent enough to, or mindful enough, to move to another goal.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. If you're on the boat heading towards the medical field.
Right.
Medicine, being a physician, is just one town on that island. You know, there's lots of other towns, and so you have to be flexible, and you have to be cognizant of, you know, what is your likelihood, you know, and what is your motivation.
That's right. In education, we talk of motivation being a function of expectancy and value.
Right.
You know, how much do you value it? That's important. But do you expect to succeed?
Right.
You know, and if you don't expect to succeed, I mean, that's one of the gate when you say, how do I know when to stop?
Right.
If you don't expect to succeed, then perhaps it's time to step back and set a different goal.
Right.
Okay. And the other thing you have to question is, how much do I really value this? Mm-hmm. Am I willing to take that organic chemistry two or three times? Do I value this enough to take organic chemistry two or three times?
Right.
You need to ask yourself those questions.
Because if you don't...
That's right. If the answer is, it ain't worth it.
If you finish the class and you say, man, I'm never going to do that again. there's an indication.
Well, that's what I say too, that you know, how do you know when it's time to change? Well, if you're miserable.
Yeah.
If you're unhappy doing it, or if you're unhappy with the result, then maybe it's time to think about something else.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And so you have to read yourself. You have to read your body. What is your body telling you?
Right.
And I don't mean just body physical, but body emotional, mental.
Yeah.
What is it telling you? Is it telling you, you know what, I enjoyed organic a little bit. You know, there were some tough spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that if I took it again, I think I could really nail it this time.
Right.
That's very different than saying, holy cow, what was that?
Right.
I don't even know what they were doing in that class.
Right. I was so lost.
All those carbon chains? Jeez, what is that?
Yep.
So, and again, it applies to lots of other areas in our life. If you want to start a business, you know, starting a business has a lot of expectations to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of kids now, teenagers now say, well, you know, I want to start my own business. I want to be my own boss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's think about what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we talk about some of those kinds of goals sort of in our culture as, you know, well, that's just what people do. That's what successful people do. But we really don't talk about what the expectations are. You know, we look at people like Donald Trump who have perhaps very successful businesses. But we don't look at, you know, when he was first starting, the struggles that he had when he was trying to make payroll.
Right.
You know, that is tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough. So there was, I was listening to a podcast the other day on NPR has a podcast called Hidden Brain.
Right.
And they were interviewing a Dr. Angela Duckworth. And she was talking about grit. Mm-hmm. And she had this really interesting idea about, because you kind of used this word a minute ago, intentional practice.
Right.
And she, you know, when you're wanting to build that perseverance, that drive, mm-hmm. she talked about intentional practice, that it's not fun.
Right.
It's not that you enjoy it. You know, mm-hmm. you may be passionate about that. Right. But, you know, Jamie Vardy, my son, loves soccer. He isn't thrilled about doing suicide runs. Right. You know, he's not thrilled about doing agility workout.
Doing the stairs. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's mm-hmm. not much fun. Right. But you recognize that that's what's needed to get through it.
Right.
And so if you are, you know, you set this goal and you look at these things in your life and you say, well, to accomplish that, I'm going to have to do this type of intentional training. Mm-hmm. And when you see that, you're like, I'm just not willing to do that.
Right.
Again, rethink your goal. Mm-hmm. Rethink what your expectations are for yourself. Right. Don't set yourself up for a failure that you can't then turn into something else.
Yeah, so many student athletes, they want to play a sport, but they hate going to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you hate it that much, if you don't enjoy practice, I mean, I realize it's hard enough. If you don't enjoy practice, it may not be the thing for you,
right.
because just competing in the game isn't what this is. You're going to have to be willing
right.
to practice on all the other days.
Yeah.
And if you're not.
Yeah. What's fascinating about my son, mm-hmm. he prefers practice over games.
Yeah, right.
Because he likes that kind of workout. He likes that kind of stuff.
That's where you learn.
He doesn't like suicide that much, but he likes likes everything else.
Mm-hmm. You can't wait to get to the ball field. You
right.
You need that passion.
Right. And passion, you know, passion is sort of like, it's sort of like motivation. It's that mm-hmm. mysterious, ethereal
yeah, right.
mist that sometimes you end up falling into, or sometimes you don't.
And that's what we see missing in so many children.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's so sad, is the kids simply don't have passion
right.
for anything. They just,
yeah.
I don't know.
In the handbook that we'll talk about in a little bit, that we're really excited about, we talk a little bit about that because, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that we're tasked with as parents is to make sure that our kids are exposed to different things.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to overstimulate them, but we want to make sure that they're stimulated enough by varied activities
right.
so that they can find a passion. You know, mm-hmm. who knows
right.
what your child will be passionate about.
It's going to click eventually of what they're really passionate, but they have to be given the opportunity.
I have been impressed with the number of people that I've met, number of teenagers I've met recently, who are passionate about hockey. Not that they watch, they don't watch the Lightning, even though mm-hmm. the Lightning are doing pretty good right now.
Okay.
They don't watch the Lightning. They go and play hockey.
Uh-huh.
In Brandon, there's mm-hmm. a rink over
right.
there, and they have a league. And, you know, who knows? That's something that I'd never, you know, I tried to expose
right.
my kids to as many things as they wanted to be exposed to and
mm-hmm.
different things. And that was something that we never did because, you know, I didn't know about it. And,
right.
you know, it's tough to drive, you know, an hour a couple of times a week
mm-hmm.
to do that. But, you know, when we work to expose our kid to some of these different things, that's when they find the passion. Finding that passion is a little bit of a passive thing that happens. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can't say, oh, no, you're going to be passionate about
right.
this.
Right.
You know, parents try to do that with education. Oh, no, you're going to be passionate about that algebra class.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love it. Yeah,
you know,
maybe
some
not.
And some kids find it earlier than others. You
right.
know, some are passionate early, some get passionate later. Parents have to be there and guide them.
Right.
You know, and not worry too much if they don't seem to be passionate at age 8.
Right.
They should be interested in everything at age 8.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, so finding that passion is going to be through exposure and experience and things
right.
like that.
Right.
The perseverance that we're talking about, the drive that we're talking about, the way to find the ability, I guess is a better way, the ability to find success from the ashes of failure, that's a life lesson that we need to teach our kids. We need to teach our kids how to do that. Part of that is teaching them through experience, teaching them through exposure, teaching them through modeling, showing them how, you know, I really didn't do a very good job on this, but here's how I'm going to fix it, or here's how I'm going to address it and turn it into something good anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really messed up the shrubs over there when I was trimming them, but this is how I'm going to fix it. And so I'm going to take that failure, if we use that word a little bit more liberally, take that failure and turn it into something better, to a success.
Right. And when you talk about perseverance, you're not just, you don't just persevere in the things that you like. You have to be willing to persevere in the activities that you choose, you know, because if it's, you know, kids will, you know, say, I'm going to play baseball. Right. And they start playing baseball. I don't like it very much. I'm going to quit. No, you got to persevere at least till the end of the season.
Right.
Or you have to give it a chance.
Right.
You know? And I think we've talked about that before. So you have to persevere to that extent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you can't let the odds
Or little disappointments, right, or little failures. You know?
Right.
Right.
Because hiccups are going to happen, regardless.
I mean, right,
you know, even when we talked about creating your roadmap, you know, we talked about creating the opportunities for flexibility in there, mm-hmm, because there's going to be obstacles that you don't anticipate.
Right. Right.
You know, there's going to be things that happen that you, mm-hmm, you don't see coming, mm-hmm, and then you have to deal with them, and that ability to overcome is a critical component of growing up.
Right.
I just found I was talking about the odds that are consistent, right, with, mm-hmm, the 5,000 to 1. ESPN has a little thing out about it, and you know it's talking about, you know, what these different, how significant these odds are of 5,000 to 1. So in 2004, for the Red Sox to win the World Series, their odds of winning was only 120 to 1.
Okay.
You know, despite all that we knew. But these are funny ones. Odds that are similar to 5,000 to 1, mm-hmm, is that Elvis is still alive.
No, really?
Yeah. That Elvis is still alive. That the Yeti or Loch Ness Monster will be found. But my favorite is that Kim Kardashian will be voted in as president in 2020.
Oh my God.
Okay.
So that's 5,000 to 1.
That's 5,000 to 1.
Okay.
You know,
that puts it in perspective.
It does. There's another one here that Barack Obama would play for the England cricket national team after he leaves the Oval Office. That's 5,000 to 1.
Not likely.
Not likely. So
okay. Might happen.
It, you know, there, so you're telling me there's a chance, like that scene from so Dumb and Dumber, right? That was the name of that movie. Yeah, that was a great movie. So what we have to do is we have to teach our kids that, you know, there's going to be odds against you.
Right.
You know, in the Hunger Games, they say, may the odds always be in your favor. Right. Well, they're not. They're not going to be in your favor. Even in that movie, they weren't in your favor. Or book. The book was better than the movie, but that's for another podcast. The odds are not going to be in your favor all the time.
Right.
Much of the time, they're not going to be in your favor. And mm-hmm. even if they are, they're not going to remain in your favor. And so mm-hmm. it's going to be up to you to develop the skills and the ability to take those opportunities, to take those situations, and not allow it to deflate you or to turn you away from your goal. You know, one of the saddest things I think that I see in kids is that... is that tendency to give up.
Yep.
I think that's it's probably one of the worst things that we can do to our kids is when we create in them that learned helplessness, and they see challenges, and as soon as they see the challenge, they, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's that move to mastery, you know, no matter what the field. I remember years and years ago, I was probably in high school at the time, and one of my friends went off to college, and he came back for a vacation. He said, oh, it's really neat. He said, once you get into these upper-level math courses, everything else starts to make sense. Like all that stuff you did in algebra, and algebra 1 and algebra 2, now it all makes sense, okay?
Right.
It's the same with music. Music isn't enjoyable when you first start. It only when you first start learning an instrument. It only becomes enjoyable after you've reached a certain level of mastery.
Right.
It's the same with sports.
Right.
It's the same with school. You have to stay with something. What did Malcolm Gladwell say? It takes 10,000 hours to become really good at something?
Right.
To become an expert? You have to be willing to. That's perseverance.
Right.
It takes perseverance to become competent. And one of the things that we need to do as parents is to keep encouraging our kids through those phases until they get to some level of mastery, because then they start enjoying,
right,
you know, right, playing the piano or playing the guitar or going to taekwondo. No, you, right, don't enjoy it when you're first starting because you're getting beaten up at taekwondo.
Right.
But once you get good at it, mm-hmm, then I think you talked about that one time in the podcast with the diet, that you have to achieve some success.
Right.
And then once you become successful, that keeps you going.
Right.
So you have to get to that mysterious level of mastery, and then it becomes self-sustaining.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's always interesting to me how we can apply, we readily and openly apply some of these principles to some things in our life.
Yeah.
But other things we say, oh no, it should be easy. For example, in sports, you know, when your kid's starting out in t-ball, mm-hmm, or starting out as a 3-year-old in soccer,
right,
there's no pressure. You know, there's none of the high demands. You're just out there having fun. No kids at, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, none of those kids are running suicides. None of those kids are running these,
hopefully,
you know, 2-hour. Well, you know, my kid, no,
right.
No, you don't do that, because what is it all about then? It's all about enjoying yourself.
That's right.
Building some skills, but enjoying yourselves, having fun with it, so, mm-hmm, that you get that interest.
Right.
Slowly, you begin to introduce things to be a little bit more challenging, to push them a little bit more, mm-hmm, to challenge their physicality a little bit more, to teach them new skills that they didn't have before. But again, in sports and in some of those kinds of physical areas, we do this very naturally. We understand,
right,
it, and it makes,
right,
sense.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we do it in other areas?
Right.
Why do we think that, well, you can take this 5-year-old and just throw them into a classroom and, oh, he's going to be successful.
Right. Yeah.
It's not likely. It's not always going to happen. It will happen with some, mm-hmm, sure, absolutely. But it's not going to happen with everyone. And so we have to teach in our kids. We have to give them those skills. We have to give them those abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it through, you know, again, through modeling and through direct instruction.
Right. And this whole concept of perseverance, especially if you're a parent, but I think it applies to our own lives. When you first start something, chances are you may not like it.
Right.
Let's take running as an example. I don't think anybody ever really enjoyed the first quarter of a mile that they ran. It was hard. It was hard on your body, breathing hard. It was hot and sweaty. But if you stay with it and you become very good at it, it becomes an enjoyable undertaking.
Right.
So if you're a parent, when your children say, no, I don't like it, it's boring, it's not fun, we're not doing it for fun.
Right.
We're doing it to become competent. And so we have to come up with ways of dissociating the activity from fun. No,
right,
it's not fun yet.
Right.
We have to get to fun, and,
right,
this is the path to fun.
Right.
You want to get to fun? This is how you got to get there.
Right.
I know it's not fun now.
Right.
You know? So you can't let them go, oh, it's not fun, I'm bored.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because once they pass that,
there's some point.
Those early level, those early, you know, school work, if you do it with your, you know, if you're sitting and playing with your 2, 3, 4-year-old,
right,
5-year-old, and you're playing with them, you can make school fun.
Right.
But it's not always going
but
to be fun.
Always.
But if you tried,
right,
try to start that,
right,
when they're 8 or 9 years old, there is,
right,
nothing,
right,
fun about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a situation that you're now introducing these new challenging tasks,
right,
later in life, that's where you have to have had that foundation,
mm-hmm,
of stick-to-itness.
Right. That's right.
That we have to build in them early in,
right,
life.
Right.
And we have to start
because
young.
When you build that kind of perseverance, when you dissociate like with continue, and you continue the activity, you're also giving your children giving your children the opportunity to develop grit. Because,
right,
now they're hanging in there, even though it's not fun, even,
right,
though it's not easy, they're persevering, they're hanging in there, and they're going to develop this quality that we refer to as grit,
right,
that you do it despite all. You just do it.
Right. Yeah, one of the things that Dr. Duckworth talked about in that,
right,
Hidden Brain podcast I was talking about, she said in her family,
mm-hmm,
she has a couple kids, the rule is that everybody, including herself and her husband, everybody is involved in some outside the house activity.
Mm-hmm.
And you could choose anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
But the only rules are whatever you choose, you have to stick to until the tuition or payment expires. So if you choose to play a sport, regardless, barring injuries and those kind of things, you have to finish the season.
Right.
And, you know, so it's like we're saying, you know, it's going to be tough at first.
Right.
But, you know, as you get into it, you may enjoy it. And so it's teaching her kids, and again, she and her husband do the same thing. So she's modeling this, that, you know, sometimes it's not fun. Sometimes you're going to get involved in something that you're not going to like.
Right.
You still have an obligation. You still finish it and try to figure out how to make the most of it.
That's right.
And then process it afterwards. Mm-hmm. What did I learn from this?
Right.
That's an exercise I do with a lot of my patients. Mm-hmm. I say, you know what? That was a really crappy part of your life. Right. I get it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
What did we learn from it? What can we take from that and then turn into something so that the next time you encounter something like this, that you have a new skill? So again, taking that success and taking that failure and trying to find some form of success out of it.
Yeah, because the option is to quit.
Right.
The option is to give up prematurely.
Right.
That you don't want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anything else? I hope that's helpful for parents, because not just for parents, but for everybody out there, because that's for adults too.
I think it is, because so many times children quit prematurely. You know, and we want to teach and model. I like what Dr. Duckworth says about that. We want to teach and model that you stay with an activity until you become good. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's school, sports, friend, doesn't matter. You have to get good at it. You have to do it until you get good at it. Then if you want to quit, that's fine.
Right.
But you have to get to that point where it becomes enjoyable.
Right.
Because all these things are if you master them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. So stick to it.
Stick to it.
Overcome the strategy, and if it's just too formidable, if you're looking at it, there's just, you know,
if you hate
organic I don't like organic chemistry.
Right.
Okay, so shift.
Right.
Don't quit.
Mm-hmm.
Shift.
Shift. And I think that's the other good advice, is just shift. Don't quit.
Right. 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 Because it's self-awareness.
Right.
You know, don't think of that as a failure. Think of it as, okay, I just learned something about myself.
And you're going to be better at the end of any season than you were at the beginning.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Absolutely. So,
yep.
All right. Just a couple of announcements.
Yes.
Richard.
We're almost there.
Week and a half or the next week and a half or so. By the date is that we've set is May 9th.
Okay.
By May 9th, section one, part one, behavior management of the Handbook for Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child, the revised, new, updated, revised 2016
new,
version.
Improved and revised.
Will be
what
available.
I like about it really is up to date. I mean, there's a lot of really current information in there.
It's up to date and it's different.
Right.
It's a different
approach.
We kind of changed the tone a little bit. We kind of shifted the way that we focused on some things and explained some things in the book. So it's a different, we had the original book published, can you believe it was 4 years ago?
Yeah.
So that's right. In 2012. So here we are now with the revised version, and we're releasing it in parts. So part one, the three parts of our book are behavior management, attention, and love. That's the three critical components to healthy parenting and raising emotionally healthy kids. And so we're releasing part one within the next week and a half, by May 9th. It should be available on Amazon as an ebook.
Mm-hmm.
We're releasing it as an ebook, and we're finishing up some of the final revisions now.
Right.
And then it'll be out. There's an introduction that really, I think we do a good job going into, you know, what behaviorism is and how we've sort of that classical parenting approach that we tend to take.
We're going to move you away from just simple rewards and punishments. So if you're tired of using the reward and punishment system, this is the book for you.
Yeah. So it will, it'll be a shift for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then there's four chapters
that
can cover and are divided by developmental periods. And we talk about what's critical during those different developmental periods and what you need to think about and address and everything. So it'll be available soon. Parts two and three, the attention and love, they'll be coming out in the next couple of months.
Right.
Those are going through the more significant revisions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why we decided to release it in sections, because a lot of people that we've talked to are really wanting especially you know to get started with some of these things and some of these thoughts. And so so we're going to release it in parts because of that. Yep. So within the next couple of months, attention will be released, followed by love soon thereafter. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. Check us out. Follow us on Twitter and stuff at Dr. Bernie, or on Facebook, because we will be posting a lot about that in the coming days. It may even be available to pre-order within the next couple of days. So
that's
that'll
exciting.
Be
great. Yeah. I'm going to order one.
You are?
I am.
I'll send you the PDF.
I think I have it in my computer. Right now.
Also, because of focusing on the book right now, I've taken a bit of a break from the Udemy course on parenting your ADHD child. I've taken a little bit of a break from that.
We have to set a completion date for that.
Right. Once we have the book out there, then focus will be reoriented back to it, and hopefully have the Udemy course done pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But it's coming together very well. If you haven't got yours already, the Elimination Diet Manual is available on iTunes as an on Amazon as an ebook.
Right.
It's 99 cents. And you know, you can check it out. So the Elimination Diet Manual, 38 days is all it takes to see if the things that you're eating are affecting your mental and physical health. So check that out, try it, see what you think.
I mentioned earlier that my daughter's in a very rigorous training program right now, so we want to do that to help her decide what foods suit her the best.
Right. So, now, one thing we didn't mention about the handbook.
The price.
Is the price.
Right.
It's going to be $4.99.
Best deal in town.
It's $4.99. And what it also includes.
Big Mac.
A Big Mac value meal.
For the price of a Big Mac value meal.
So you at least get the fries and a Coke with it. So the fries and the Coke that go along with the book are the supplemental resources that we're going to have. So what will happen is that when you have the book, you'll get access to a website. And that website is going to have about 20 different documents, resources.
Lots of good resources.
That kind of go into more detail, cover different topics. And some of them are just actual activities that you can use at home to implement some of the concepts and perspectives that we present.
The book explains why kids act the way they do at different stages of development. But these activities tell you what kinds of things you can do about it.
Right. How to address it.
As you say, some are very specific strategies.
Right.
Like how to use timeout.
Right. Yes. Very good. Finally, of course, we're on iTunes. Everybody knows that. But we're now on Google Play Music. You have to say Google Play Music.
Is it one word?
No, it's three words. But I don't know why that they say you have to emphasize that it's Google Play Music. It's not just Google Play. It's Google Play Music, because I guess they put their podcast in with their music app. So Google Play Music, you can subscribe to this podcast, The Mental Breakdown, but you can also subscribe to the Paydia Education podcast through Google Play Music. All of the old podcasts, the previous podcasts that have been published are on there as well. So just a new venue, new access that's out there. We do, of course, as always, encourage you to write a review or rate us on iTunes or, I guess, Google Play Music. I guess you can do that there. I need to check that out. Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
And rate us, write a review. It just helps other people find us because, Dr. Richard, we met our goal for the month.
Actually, we exceeded it
by
192.
we've been working really hard over the past few months to just break 1,000 downloads for the month. Now, when you say it, it's like, 1,000 downloads for the month.
When you start at zero.
But when you start at zero.
1,000 looking good.
1,000 looks really good.
But this,
so we're
this
at 1,192. Yeah.
Because the more who listen, you get more listeners, right?
Right, one and so that's good. What, you know, the importance of of writing reviews and rate us and things like that is because it increases awareness so other people can find it. And so what that means is, that lots of other people are hopefully finding us and hopefully benefiting from some of the things we're talking about which is great, which is fantastic, yeah. which is all we hope for. Because you know, the only reason we do this is to help.
People listen.
Yeah, right. is to try to help people live a happier, healthier life.
Pass on to you the stuff that we have learned over the years.
Yeah. So and you know, everybody doesn't have access to come and talk to somebody. In a therapy session or something like that.
You know, that's something we should probably mention. For those of you who don't have access, and any number of reasons, listen to the podcasts, both this one and the education podcast. And if you have questions, send them in.
Yeah, write to us.
We'll be happy to answer. So you don't have to come in for an appointment. It's okay to email us. It's okay to talk.
Yeah.
Get in touch with us. Send us an email or a text or a tweet. And ask us those questions,
yeah.
and we'll do our best to find the answers for you.
Yeah, we'll find our the answers. We'll do a show about it, and
exactly.
Hopefully, because mm-hmm. if you have the question, I'm sure other people do too.
Right.
So that's what exactly. they teach us at school, anyways. Ask a question because somebody else in the class
somebody
probably has the same
wondering.
Question.
Right.
So okay. All right, that's it.
Very good,
guys. Thanks so much for listening. We had a pretty good group in the chat room today, mm-hmm. So that was nice. So thanks for listening, and if you have the opportunity we won't be on the air next Friday morning. We'll probably record the podcast before next Friday, and we'll post it on Friday or something.
Okay.
But we won't be live next Friday. It'll probably be the Friday after that we return right. live on Mixlr that you can listen to us live. So,
but remember Mother's Day, May 7th.
What?
Mother's Day, May 7th. Glad I mentioned
that. Is that next Sunday?
That is the week from here. That's next Sunday.
I'll have to talk to Mom about that.
You got to get that going.
All right.
You only have 8 days?
8 days. All right. So until a future time, well, until next week for those of you who just listen to the
right.
podcast.
Yeah. We'll have something for you.
That's right.
It'll be good, too.
So I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
Have a terrific week. Stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.